I think I'm ready. Let me just see. I'm going to do one thing first. The name of my talk today is called Transitions and Staying With. We go through transitions all the time, from sitting to standing, from sleep to waking, from speaking to listening. Most of these transitions happen effortlessly without much thought or conscious effort on our part. This is as it should be. We can't and shouldn't be aware of each change in our posture, our consciousness, our intention. But perhaps it might behoove us deliberately to notice some of the transitions that define our days, or bring us into a happier state, or delineate a troublesome shift in our behavior or mental state. How do we develop this kind of increased awareness with curiosity and kindness? One of the few suggestions that we teachers occasionally make about meditation is to notice the transitions and to stay with those understandings for a little longer. When we go from the initial sitting down with the intention to meditate, and when we enter our meditation, or to notice when our attention shifts from planning our grocery list to noticing our breath and pulse, or when we find our head bobbing down towards our chest and wonder if we've been sleeping. These are common meditative transitions that we are all familiar with. Our practice helps us become aware of these slight changes as they occur or soon afterwards. Staying with these transitions for a while gives us the possibility of discovering more in these states. Over time, this way of training our awareness in the more elusive aspects of meditation gives rise to developing sensitivity to more subtle shifts in our meditation. We are training ourselves to notice slight distinctions in mood or tone and to become interested in them. This kind of attentiveness brings added interest to our meditation, and as we train our attentiveness further and stay longer with the sensations or feelings, this increased awareness naturally spills over into our daily lives. We become more sensitive to what sets us off, what pleases us, what comes before or right after we fall into a habitual pattern. One of the benefits of a retreat is that over a longer period, in the stillness and calm of extended meditation, we can cultivate our awareness more deeply and acutely. This often leads to an ability to sustain this kind of subtle awareness for longer periods of time and to notice and experience its development over the course of a retreat. Now, this sounds good, right? Who wouldn't want to experience such internal expansion in meditation? Such a development in practice might be what motivates us to go on retreat in the first place. And I believe that many of us do experience this kind of internal expansion on retreat. It's just that when we talk about it in this rather abstract and conceptual way that I have just described, something is lost, and that is the actual quality of experience, which brings into our ken our understanding and practice. So, just having come from a retreat and having had an experience of what I'm talking about, I will try to describe what occurred in hopes that my experience might ring a few internal bells for you and give you a way of seeing your own experience differently. And if not, then it's just another one of my good Dharma stories, I hope. Dave and I have done Linda and Nellie's New Year's retreat for several years now. This year, we decided that we'd really like to be warm and as well have a mini vacation and use up some of the air miles that we were about to lose. So we arranged to fly to Kauai, which is the northernmost island of the Hawaiian Islands. We booked a condo where we could cook our own meals and have quiet space to ourselves, as well as be near a beach where we could swim. The topic of the retreat was meditation culture, and we thought what would be better than being on an island with a very different culture from our own. Linda and Nellie introduced the retreat by asking us each to take some time to think about what cultures and subcultures had influenced us as we grew up, and then to share our reflections with the group. As a check-in, it took a bit longer than usual, but it helped us all get into thinking about culture and its influence on us, as well as giving us a focused way to introduce ourselves to one another. After that first round of sharing, I think we all felt we knew much more about one another than we usually do at the beginning of a retreat, and the diversity of our backgrounds and upbringing was really interesting. There were three women from Australia on the retreat, and one of them on one occasion said, with regard to her own culture, how very American we seemed. And that gave us an interesting perspective on thinking about ourselves. When I took my turn, I talked about moving around a lot as a child after my parents divorced and always being the new girl and my longing for a home that did not exist. I spoke of the time between the ages of 10 and 12 when I had lived with my father, my brother Roger, and our stepmother in the Philippines, and what it was like to be a child growing up in a totally different culture. And how being on Kauai reminded me so much of growing up in Manila, the heat, the humidity, the ocean, and especially the sound of chickens running loose, as they did in Manila when I was a girl. And finally, I said that in some way I couldn't describe, this place where we were felt a little bit like home. The weather on Kauai was warm enough that much of the time we could sit outside on our lanai, the first floor extension of the indoors. I sat there as much as I could, for the first sitting of the day when it was still dark, during the day as the sun moved across the sky, and up through the evening after the retreat day was over and we ate our dinner in the dusk. I was so happy, feeling the soft air, seeing the clouds change shape and color, watching the tall waving palm trees, and occasionally when the wind was right, hearing the surf. During the days, children played nearby, families headed for the beach. But rather than being distracting, I found myself included in these sounds and enjoyed the laughter and the happiness I heard. I stayed with that sense of being home. It expanded during the retreat, and over the hours and days, it developed into a feeling, a sense of being home and myself. Clearly, some dukkha arose during the retreat and some small conflicts between me and Dave about one thing or another happened. But generally, I felt relaxed and at ease. And there was the thing about the chickens running loose, cock-a-doodle doing at all hours, such a part of the land and soundscape. It reminded me so much of Manila, where chickens were also part of daily life. The homeliness of their sound, the way they ran about together, how there were always more of them than you imagined. As the retreat went on, I tried to recall as much as I could about those years in the Philippines. I remember how I had flown by myself from LaGuardia in New York to Manila. I had watched my mother wave goodbye to me with tears in her eyes and fear on her face, but I had not been afraid. Instead, looked forward to the adventure. In the early 50s, a trip that long took maybe 2 days or even longer and included 4 or 5 refueling stops and many, many hours of looking out the window at clouds. It was a time of recognizing my own independence, that I could take care of myself and that people would help me if I needed. As these thoughts and memories came and went, a sense of being home grew stronger. What did that mean? When I thought back to those days in the Philippines, it wasn't a very favorable time for me or my family. My father's second marriage wasn't happy either, and my stepmother was mean to Roger and me, and to my dad as well. He traveled around a lot in the Western Pacific, and so we were left alone with her pretty often. We didn't like her much. Roger was preoccupied with his schoolwork, and I spent much of my time either in school or playing jacks and jump roping with my friends in the compound where we lived. That part was fun, but the time with my family wasn't, and I deeply missed my mother. So why were these memories of living there surfacing now as a deep sense of being home? As I went through the retreat, slowly I came to see that home was not with my family, not even with my mother, but within myself. During those difficult years, I had come into myself and discovered the confidence that I have carried with me since. Just staying with that small initial feeling of being home and the sound of the chickens as the part of the landscape over the course of the retreat developed into a recognition of a large part of what had formed me as a person. Such small awarenesses that might easily have been overlooked or ignored. This is what is available to us when we pay attention and stay with what arises. Of such small things is a life created. Thank you for your attention. May the goodness that arises from our practice and from this act of sharing be a benefit to all beings everywhere.